And we've had the keyboard. I forgot to mention that this morning Lori is at our keyboard. We've been blessed by the music. I want to apologize to you for glossing over the giving. You know the whole thing about religion with their money out, asking for money. That is not a biblical concept, and I'm so sorry to gloss over it. As you know, if you have money to give to someone you love, you just get really excited, whether it's your mother or your sister or your friend. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to give to somebody who needs it. And that's the way we feel with however little or much we have. Giving to the Lord is just a real blessing. To outsiders, it's a con. And so that's the part that I'm really uncomfortable with, but I apologize for speaking that way about giving. It's a privilege. What kind of baptism did you receive? Now, get ready. I want you all to speak out in a little bit where you were baptized. And if you don't want to say because they're family complicated, whatever, that's fine. You don't need to. And if you're not baptized, we would be glad to baptize you. Not this morning, but we would be glad to baptize you, so let me know. So just think, where were you baptized? When was that? This is a story that has so many versions that it probably isn't true. But the version that I like goes like this. Martin Luther was asleep in bed. He heard a noise downstairs. He went down to investigate. It was the devil sitting at his kitchen table. And he said, "Oh, it's just you. I'm not afraid. I'm baptized." And he went back to bed and went back to sleep. Martin Luther had such a strong appreciation for what it meant to be baptized into the family of God that he was not rattled by it. Does your faith and your baptism give you that kind of confidence and flexibility when you meet trouble in the world? All right, now I'm going to ask you to say where you were baptized. Sir Elliot, where were you baptized?
I don't remember the church name.
Doesn't remember the church name. Do you know the city?
No, it was
Havertown.
Because I'm so deaf, I shouldn't even do this kind of thing, right? But I never learn. I never learn. Okay, thank you. Abel? Okay. Ignatius?
I was baptized twice, once by the Spirit.
Okay, we won't get into that.
By the word.
Here.
Chris?
Newtown Square.
First Church of Boxford.
Here.
Boxville, Delaware. Methodist Church.
Have it, Ghana.
We don't mean to put you on the spot, Lori. Are you baptized?
Oh, yes. That was the German Reformed Church in Reading, Pennsylvania, 1960.
Bethany United Evangelical Church, Norristown.
Kabwata Presbyterian Church, Zambia, Africa.
Baptized in Liberia.
Liberia. Upper Darby Bible Baptist.
Wanyama Kutia.
Liberia.
I was baptized in the Kuma River in Kumamoto in Kyushu. So there, in the Reformed tradition, there are only two sacraments: baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's all in the Reformed tradition. Baptism in the Reformed tradition and I won't say we because we're sort of a mix of a lot of different things, is mainly understood as an expression of the covenant between God and God's people. It's sort of like a circumcision deal. Believing parents promise to teach their infant about God and to teach the infant to love God, and the child is baptized, not at home, but in the middle of a community of faith. This is a public thing. This is not a private devotion. And then the other thing about the Reformed tradition is that it's important to have a congregation who receives the child who's baptized. They promise to raise, there's a question to the congregation as well. We promise to raise this child with the parents. And at the end of childhood, the youth receives formal instruction and is confirmed at their confession of faith as an adult member of the congregation. So that's sort of our tradition. I mean, I say our, that is the Reformed tradition. For those from a Baptist or an Anabaptist tradition, baptism is valid if the individual is old enough to affirm their personal faith. And baptized people are expected to live up to the spiritual challenges of faith, sort of in an individual way. In the Roman Catholic Church, as you know, baptism in the church is one of seven sacraments, and it is essential to salvation to be baptized within the Mother Church, within the Roman Church. Just as a person can get married before the justice of peace or in a huge wedding with 17 bridesmaids without ever intending to really live faithfully with that person, we can get baptized without having any idea of what we are getting into or admitting the meaning. We can, however, learn to understand and rejoice in our baptism, even if it seemed only a rote ceremony at the time, or we were just infants, or we didn't know what we were doing, or we just did it because we wanted to meet a girl. Whatever reason it was, in the Presbyterian Church, we do not re-baptize people who want to make a fresh start, but we offer them a service of reaffirmation of baptismal vows. And in the Baptist Church, if you were not baptized as an adult, they will baptize you again. But in our tradition, we don't do that, unless you were not baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you were baptized in some other thing that didn't say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then we will consider re-baptizing you. There's only one baptism. You only need to do it once, and then you live it out the rest of your life. As the new year begins, it's a really great time to examine our hearts and assess our past experiences. In this text, which Shoresi read for us, and I believe y'all have it in your bulletins, and there's Bibles in your pews, I think, as well. Paul meets people who seem to have faith, but something is off. And he says to them, "What kind of baptism did you receive, by the way?" And they say, "John's baptism." Now, as Christians of 2,000 years later, we read this, we think, "Oh, John's baptism was a baptism for the repentance of sins." It was the Jewish people saying, even though we are the people of God, we are the covenant people of God, true, we still need to commit ourselves. We repent of our sins. It was not to become Jewish or to stop being Jewish. They were saying, we affirm that we are God's people and we need to live that way. That was John's baptism. Paul tells the people of Ephesus, John taught about someone who would baptize with the Holy Spirit, who would come after him. And so he teaches them about the baptism that John prophesied about and baptizes them in the name of Jesus, whereupon they receive the remarkable gifts of the Spirit to praise God in other languages, and they are able to speak boldly about Christ. In Acts, generally speaking, the coming of the Holy Spirit or the baptism is associated, the water and the Spirit are associated together once after John the Baptist. In this case, the gifts, in the case of the Gentiles with Cornelius, if you remember the story, the coming of the Holy Spirit came first so that Peter would know, it's okay, These guys are Gentiles. They're not circumcised, but it's okay. I've gone ahead, and now the story can go out to the uncircumcised people, and the covenant people of God is going to be broader than you realize. So in that case, the Holy Spirit came first so that Peter would go ahead and baptize them with water. In this case, he baptizes them and he puts his hands on them, and then they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. There is some, do you remember the story of the competition between the disciples of John the Baptist and the disciples of Jesus? In the Christian church, there can never be competition between people who say, I follow this radio preacher, I am a follower of this Bible teacher. There can never be anybody but to be a disciple of Jesus. The people of Ephesus could no longer be followers of John, but they must be followers of Jesus, who have been taught and encouraged and blessed by the ministry of John. The city of Ephesus was long associated with John, not the Baptist, but with the gospel writer John, and it is believed, although we don't know, that Mary may have gone there and stayed until she died later in older age. There can never be competition within the Christian church, but only disciples of Christ. And here we see repentance from sins, we see faith in Christ, we see the Christ's life, death, and resurrection, and the Holy Spirit. How about you? Were you baptized with water? And with the water comes the coming of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, it is not separate. And I understand that in the Christian church, there are people who teach that you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a separate way. But I believe, and the Reformed Church generally teaches, that is given to you, and you may not know it, you may not know about it, but it is there for you if you are a baptized Christian. Some stairs go down from our kitchen to the basement. And at different times of the year and at different times of day, the sunlight will go down partway down the stairs, and sometimes all the way to the bottom of the stairs. Because I have seen Egyptian tombs, and because I was in Bolivia with a pre-Inca, not just pre-Columbus, but pre-Inca calendar, where the sun goes through a hole in a rock twice a year, when I go down the steps and the sunlight is with, I think, oh, this is like an Egyptian tomb, you know? And I wonder whether it's spring. I wonder when the sun reaches the bottom of the step. It's too much for me to do all the mathematics. I never really write it down as to when the sun goes down the steps. But because I'm aware of those kinds of calendars and those kinds of tombs, I'm aware that there's a special, that the movement of the sun around the, where the sun stays and we move around the sun and the seasons, and it's an ellipse, and so it's different seasons. I'm aware of all that, even though I can't calculate it, and I'm not gonna probably bother to write down every day. This is the baptism for you. You may not be able to calculate it all out. You may not understand it, but you need to be aware that the baptism that you received is a wonderful, very complex reception into the kingdom of God. You don't have to understand it. You just have to know that if you find the devil at your kitchen table, you can go back to bed again because you are baptized. The teaching of Scripture in this is that Jesus was baptized by John, but he did not baptize himself. And the baptism of John may or may not have been linked in with when it wasn't, I'm sorry, it wasn't LinkedIn. At that time, beginning around that time, people who were not Jewish, people who were not circumcised, were received into the Jewish faith by circumcision and also by a ritual bath. But John's baptism is something different than that. And like I said, I think I do something here, don't they? And I think scholars are still debating this. It's like calculating when the sun goes down the steps. It's a very complicated thing. It's real, but we may not be able to exactly understand it. Early Christian writings assume baptism, but they don't ever really explain it and break it down. John's baptism plus Jesus' death and resurrection plus your reception of it is the baptism. There are many, many images in Scripture, and here are some of the images. We can learn to be supported by the reality of our new life in Christ in many ways over time as we need to hear it. And I think it's in your notes. Here are some of the clearest images of what baptism means. And just like when you're late to something, which is an experience that I have, if you have five reasons why you're late, it's excuses, right? So here's, this is why I say to you, don't get too hung up on only one of these images. There are many images, and they're all valid, and the Holy Spirit is giving you a way to understand what it means to move into the kingdom of God. Use this, take advantage of it. Use the ones that are helpful for yourself. So one of them in Romans 6, isn't it? Tracy just does all this stuff. It's really great. And then Sir Elliot is kind to do that. Romans 6 and Colossians 2, going into the water, and this is best if you do the whole water immersion business, right? You go in, you die, and you come up, and you resurrect. So that's an image that is in the Scriptures. In Galatians 3, it's to put on a coat, to put on a set of clothes, a clean set of clothes. 1 Corinthians 6, it's washing. It's washing away. It's being sanctified. It's being justified. And the psalm this morning was Psalm 29, showing the power of water to wash. And 1 Peter 1 is sprinkled with Christ's blood. And then you're supposed to think about the sacrifices in the temple that were sprinkled with blood. And this is like a sacrifice of, you remember the sacrifice of Christ and you participate in that sacrifice. And then in Ephesians, it's a demonstration of unity because there's only one body, one spirit, one baptism. I mean, we've all had this, look at all over the world, we've had our baptisms. But we have one baptism, and so we know that we are in the church together. And then in Acts 2, it's a fulfillment of the covenant. It's a way of entering into the relationship with God. And then in Romans 10, this is especially important in a non-Christian society, to confess to believe in your heart. Okay, that's okay. You think about it at home at night, but confess with your mouth and publicly receive baptism. There are countries in the world, and I grew up in one, where if you become baptized, that sets you apart from other people. It's okay to go to church and think great thoughts, but once you're baptized, people will treat you differently. You might have to leave your home, and there are places where being baptized will endanger your life. You will be killed if you are baptized. Okay to think in your heart, but don't confess with your mouth. So it is a public confession of faith. You're going to marry your girlfriend? Well, I love her very much. I'm going to stay with her the rest of your life, but you're not going to marry her. There's reasons for that, but it's a public confession and a commitment that other people can see, that society can see. So here are some of the ways that Scripture speaks of baptism. Given this reality of baptism, which many of us have experienced, how far do you plan to let your involvement with Christ go now that you are baptized? And is there a gap between what you expect of your experience with God and what you are actually experiencing? Do you feel, if I'm baptized, it should be different. I should be different. My life should be different. Are you disappointed? Do you feel hungry? Like, I wish I had more. You're like, oh, this is great. Next year I'm going to be even more happy with being baptized than I am this year. You feel cynical, like, yeah, well, this is what happens to everybody. Don't worry about it. You know, we all just do the best we can. Well, how are you greeting this year? What is your hopes and dreams for this effective and rich experience of baptism that you have? Are you waiting for someone like Paul to ask you, what kind of baptism did you have? Are you not acting like a child in the house? A child in the house goes and gets a cookie out of the jar, if they're allowed to, but a guest won't do that. So are you a guest or are you a child of the house who, when you need something else from God, you want to go deeper with God, you can go into the kitchen and open the fridge, or you can open the cookie jar? Are you behaving like a child of God when you need the next step? Or are you asking God to show you all that you have received in Christ? Do you feel that you're reaching out, that you're sort of asking God for more? And then there's two ways you can get kind of hung up on this, and is to be dazzled by the spectacular gifts of the Holy Spirit and desire those and forget the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the sober life of living in joy and hope and peace and treating people with the dignity that God gives us. Or on the other side, do you say, oh, that stuff is dangerous, that's like playing with dynamite, I'm just going to live a sober, godly life and not really think about the Holy Spirit very much? If you continue the way you are now, where do you see yourself at the end of this year? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.